Hello, it's Larry Clark with Excelsior Music Publishing with another episode of our From the Composer series. And today we're talking to composer Carl Stroman. Hey, Carl, how's it going?
Pretty good, Larry. What's up?
Great. I would like for you to talk to our audience today a little bit about your background as a composer and anything that might be of interest to them about your what you've done over all these years as a composer.
Well, I've been doing this probably now for about 40 years. And I really started off first as an arranger for a variety of performing groups, choral, jazz band primarily in the beginning, and then later on segued into concert band and orchestra. I got probably most of my training, was not in college surprisingly, but more with the mentors that I had, including Manny Albom for jazz, Rayburn Wright, who was the orchestrator for the Radio City Music Hall and then went on to Eastman.
Wow.
And Manny Albom, who was a jazz great at the time. I learned a lot. And Stefan Volpe, by the way, who was an avant-garde, off-the-wall kind of stuff, but I really wanted to know what that was all about. I don't write that way, but I understand it.
Sure.
Right now, aside from the writing, I'm at Long Island University as an adjunct. I teach in the master's program orchestration and composition. And we've had some really very, very fine, successful writers go through that. A number of them I send on to the USC Film Scoring School, NYU Film Scoring School. And one student this year went on and was accepted to the Nadia Boulanger Institute in Paris. Some really...
Wow.
Very, very fine writers, and I get a kick out. All these kids came, not, I shouldn't call them kids. They came with solid skills in place, and I just more or less acted as a tweaker and smoothing out rough edges, but it's always nice to see them successful.
Sure. Now, Carl, you were also a band director for an extended period of time,
I was
correct?
Band director in southern Westchester County. I live on Long Island. Westchester County is right across Long Island Sound. And the name of the district was the Mamaroneck School District, which covered two towns, Mamaroneck and Larchmont. And we had a fine band, excellent parent relationships. I really enjoyed the years I put in there. And I, as you know, teaching band, you learn a lot about writing for band.
Absolutely.
I got really solid information by working with those kids.
So you've been published for a long time. How many pieces do you suspect that you have published these days?
Interesting you ask. I just got a notice from ASCAP that I now have 702 titles registered.
Wow.
And that's
amazing.
Cuts across all performing groups. So yeah, I knew there was a lot, but I didn't realize there were that many. And the other thing I'm involved with is, as you well know, are the music libraries. There's one out in California called First Com. And what they have done in the past is taking pieces from recorded pieces from some of the publishers and put them out there for the media. And I think that's something we might want to do at some point. We'll talk about that at another time.
Sure. So when was your first piece published? How many years ago was that?
Probably in the mid-70s. And it was a choral piece.
Oh, okay.
And at the time, it was with Alfred Music, which originally was on Long Island, in Port Washington, Long Island.
Right.
And Sandy Feldstein was running the show there. The owner of the company, Mr. Manis, decided at one point that he'd like to move to California. So in the late 70s, they picked up and moved to California, and they've been there ever since.
Wow. So, Carl, would you share with us a little bit about your process and how you compose and, you know, what is your setup like? What, how's that work for you?
My setup is I have two 27-inch Macs. One has...
The big boys.
The big boys. The bigger the better. I have a Yamaha 88 key attached to a Korg X5DR for sound. They produce some excellent sounds. Frankly, a hell of a lot better than the finale sounds. They both my computers have the Korg. The other one is a Vitar controller, which has no sounds at all. It's a control. It's acts as a controller and another Korg. The Korg people, this particular unit went out of business some years ago. So when I got to my second computer, I was in a panic because, again, the sounds on Finale were not terrific. But we found one, a brand new Korg in Japan on eBay. And it was delivered within a week and set it up, and it works just fine now. And that
Great.
Was on I'm on Finale 25 with a new one.
Right.
And the old one, I'm still on Finale 12. And,
so you mentioned you use Finale. Do you still also like start out with a sketch by hand?
Sometimes. What I do is I'll go into I use Finale as a sketch. I'll put in pieces of paper posted all over my walls here with little excerpts of lines that I like to hear, and every now and then I'll pull one down and play it on the piano. So those things are available, but I really start out on Finale. I'm very comfortable with doing that.
So what is it you start with? Do you find you tune first and then kind of build from that, or is there another method?
Well, you know, being in the print business, we get assignments or we get commissions, and oftentimes the commission drives the piece. If you're dealing with a band director, whether it be a municipal band or a high school group, they kind of hint at what they'd like, and we have a chit chat about it. So that can drive the composition in the beginning. Sometimes it's just something I hear. I keep a music pad by my TV, and sometimes I'll hear a couple of lines and some underscore, and I write them down.
Right.
And so there's a mixed bag about how that all happens. It's very, as a writer, where does this stuff all come from? Who knows? I mean, it's unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is.
Well, oftentimes when you get a little snippet, right? And then you have to work it.
Exactly. Exactly. Except when you get writer's block.
Well, do you find that you just write a little bit every day, or is it, you know, certain times of the week or nights, weekends? I don't know. Whatever works.
I will not sit down at the computer unless I have something that I'm going to enter. Or else you can sit there and stare at the computer for hours and get really frustrated. So unless I have something in my head that I might have jotted down on with a pencil and paper, I'm not going to sit there. And if I get stuck with a piece, experience has told me walk away, turn it off and go someplace. I'll take a walk, do something else. Otherwise, it gets really frustrated. Or the second option is if you're into the piece already and you can't figure out a section, do the ending, do the beginning, do something else, paste it together a little later on.
That's interesting because some composers that I talk to about this, you know, writer's block sort of thing, they talk about sometimes they just have to force themselves through it, even if they write stuff that they don't think is very good in the process, but it ultimately helps them get past that just by writing something. So your situation is a little bit different.
Yeah, what I found is if you walk away from it and forget it for a while, there's something happens to, I'm speaking for myself, unconsciously.
Sure.
When I come back to the computer, it's like, oh, okay, there it is. Something, I've probably been thinking about it somewhere in my mind, but not aware of it.
Right.
So that's how I operate.
So when you're, when you've been doing this for a very long time and have had a lot of great success in the publishing business, so how has your writing changed over the years?
Wow, that's a great question. I think that I'm I don't think I tend to overwrite anymore. I used to go on and on and on. And you have to be a little... have to pare back a little bit sometimes.
So you've made your writing more concise.
Yes. And also I think my sense of orchestration has changed also. I used to load stuff and that doesn't make any sense. I was concerned that if I don't have five low instruments covering the bass line, there'd be a problem, which is not true. Once you hear the recordings so that becomes overload.
Right.
I think you can make things happen without overloading sections. The other thing is, if it's a repetitive piece, like a folk song piece, use the orchestration, do one section with the woodwinds, another section with the brass, mix it up a little bit. You know, a folk song doesn't go anywhere. It stays pretty much within short parameters.
Right.
So you really want to use the orchestration or key changes to make it work.
Well, it's interesting. I find often that young composers have a tendency to use the tools of, you know, the computer and Finale, but they unfortunately don't, they use it as a crutch. They'll do a lot of copy and paste instead of, as you said, changing the orchestration to make it different on a repeat or the second time or whatever.
And the other thing is development. You know, that's the one thing, all these great young composers that I had coming into the master's program, the one thing that they didn't have to a greater extent was developing a piece.
Right.
I said, go listen to Mahler. He took a piece for an hour and a half.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Go listen right. to what he did with it. So they'll come up with a line, a very interesting line for X amount of measures, and then they go on to part B. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Look at this line. You can do X, Y, and Z with it. Stretch it out. Change the orchestration. Maybe change the key. Shorten the notes. Accent, whatever.
But develop. Yeah. Isn't that really composition, right? Doing the max with the minimum.
Absolutely.
Well, you mentioned listening. What kind of music do you listen to just for fun or that gets your juices flowing that you really enjoy?
I'm a jazz guy. And that's how I started out, and that's what I did in college. I was to play jazz piano all over New York City. And my early arrangements were for jazz bands. So I'm a big jazz fan. Mm. As a piano player, I'll listen to Oscar Peterson, Earl Garner, some of the great jazz piano players. But I'm also a big fan, by the way, of Ives. It's one of my favorite
guys. Ives, interesting.
I listen to him, and his story is so unusual. His background and how he wrote and why he wrote. He certainly didn't need the money. He was a super wealthy guy, ran an insurance company.
Right.
And but the way he wrote is quirky, and it's nice quirky. So I listen to him a lot. I just want to get more ideas from him. But yeah, I'm a jazz fan. I'm a big James Taylor fan.
Oh yeah,
I don't
good,
know
great, I great songwriter. Well, he's a great songwriter, and I think that's if I have to pinpoint one of the things that's helped your music be successful over the years is you write great tunes.
That's what
You have good melodies.
Well, I enjoy his music. They're simple. The chord changes are great. And the quality of his voice and everything about it, I'm very, very impressed with his stuff. And of course, all the other Santana, Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, all those hard driving horn parts, and they're just wonderful.
So, Carl, do you have a website or a way that people could get in contact with you if they're interested in more information about you or your music?
Yes, it says carlstroman.com. That's it.
It's pretty simple, right?
Yep.
And now there's Facebook as well, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. That does it for another episode of From the Composer. I'm Larry Clark from Excelsior Music Publishing. Thank you for listening.